Hello!
Hello! How are you?
I'm so good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
What a beautiful Friday it is.
Beautiful Friday it is. So this is probably going to be an insert episode. Mm-hmm. We're looking at, what's happening is, Thursday ended up being much more eventful than we thought it was going to be, and it took up way longer in podcast form than we anticipated. And so now we're left with this hanger-oner with Friday, and it's either we were going to merge it into the Monday-Tuesday podcast, or we're just going to do it now. And I don't want to merge it into Monday-Tuesday.
No, because then we would be podcasting for a very long time.
Seems like it would be.
By the way, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Ben, or Mr. G.
Oh, my name is Peyton, or Miss Ridge.
Oh, that's just the bee's knees, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Verdad Very Sad. Welcome I see you were doing the 1920 slang skits today.
Yeah, we were doing the 1920 slang skits. Anyway, so just kind of a quick update on period two. Mexicali has continued to pay his debt to the suburb cartel.
Right, remind us why he's in debt to the suburb cartel.
Well, he's not in debt. He's paying rent. Sorry. So Mexicali last episode bought the territory Suzanne,
right,
from the suburb cartel who had previously conquered it.
Mm-hmm.
The suburb cartel seems to be very focused on economic domination, which is interesting given how just aggressive they were initially. We talked about selling land for land prices last time, and the suburb cartel is kind of continuing in this theme, and they're looking at the lands that they don't need, and they're just selling them off. And so Suzanne, the person, buys Sun from the suburb cartel.
Okay.
Which is like, we kind of didn't think that they would be on good terms.
No.
But like, she was willing to make a deal. She bought it for, I forget for how much. Theo Vaughn gives $50 to Gucci Napkin, and I wasn't quite sure what that was about. But then I did find out what it was about.
Oh.
Do you remember Sugar Puff?
Yes.
We love Sugar Puff.
We do.
So Sugar Puff's got, like, kind of a lot of territories.
Mm-hmm.
But she's sneaky, you know?
Yes. She's doing the social deduction
She's doing it in a very sneaky way. And so Gucci Napkin doesn't know who she is. But he sees that she's kind of got a lot of power, like, somehow or another. He's just seeing the result of it. You know, he's not necessarily seeing, like, Gucci Napkin and the suburb cartel are, like, very public when they make attacks. They're like, mm-hmm. I'm going to attack someone, and they're, like, mm-hmm. for 200, and they're dead to me, and they're dead to everybody around. You know, so everyone knows who he is. But no one knows who Sugar Puff is, or at least the suburb cartel doesn't, because
mm-hmm.
she's being super sneaky about it. But she's got, like, a ton of land, so Gucci Napkin's probably, like, she might be, like, a legitimate threat.
Right.
Is what I'm imagining, is going through his head, and he comes to me, and he says, I want to send a message to Sugar Puff.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I'm not going to tell you who that is. Just because the way she's playing the game. I want to respect the way she's playing the game.
But will you deliver a message?
I'll deliver a message. And he says, if I get $50 from her, I won't attack her.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so I relay the message, and she ends up accepting, and I handle the transfer of money. But I think that's why Theo Vaughn gave Gucci Napkin $50, is the threat is bigger than the threat's bigger than the attack.
Yep.
And he's monetizing the fear of him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, super cool. Wouldn't have thought of that. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. Because we have a bankruptcy kind of cap, I decided to put that in writing and introduce the laws to period two. And on our court in period two is only three people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just kind of how it shook out. We have Meh, Strike Eagle, and Gucci Napkin.
Okay.
That's our high court. Wiener Schnitzel also wanted to be on it, but I honestly was like, first off, that's four, and we were kind of already struggling to get three.
Yeah, and we need an uneven.
And we're not going to give the separate cartel two votes on the
Supreme Court.
On the Supreme Court, it's not going to happen. Second period is really not taken to the laws the same way that fourth period has.
Yeah, well, fourth period is really enjoying that legislation.
Yeah,
the legislative branch is strong.
Legislative, well, the judicial branch.
Judicial branch, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Second period is not taken to that yet, and I think part of it is because they have not realized the power of it yet, and they have not realized that the influence that it can have. I kind of showed Matt what fourth period had done as like an example, and he like pulled one of the laws over, and he was like, "Oh, I want to write this law, and like I want to make this into a law," and he did, and that was about voting judges out. So the first law that was enacted by a judge, which allowed judges to be voted out.
Okay.
Limiting
their own power.
Which is good. I guess that's healthy. That's a very responsible, reasonable government.
Yes,
right there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you know, remember there was this time in fourth period where there was this renaissance of lawmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't hit yet in second. You know, kids have not realized the power of that. And I'm not sure how, like in fourth period there's not a ton of kids that are like in that space where they're making laws. There's a lot of kids that are kind of like paying attention, but not a lot of, that are actually writing laws.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see just with the numbers difference, how second period kind of plays with that. And how if we get a lot of people and I'm like super busy all the time and I need a TA. But yeah, second period is not taken to the laws in the same way fourth period has. And I'll be interested to see who is making laws and what those laws are about. You know, I'd be interested to see if, like, Sugar Puff makes a law, you know, because that seems like it might be within her style. Maybe not exactly her style, but, like, something sneaky like that, you know? Or if people trying to make laws specifically to limit the suburb cartel, you know? And then because the suburb cartel has a minority on the court, that they can, like, influence that, you know? Yeah, so far they have not realized the power of the laws and the power of just me enforcing it. I think that's about it for a second.
A good day in second. We now have a judicial branch.
We have a judicial branch. No one's realized the power of the judicial branch. Gucci Napkin realized what could be the power. I, like, announced it, and he was, like, at first didn't want to volunteer, and then he said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I want that."
Mm-hmm.
Where's my document for... there it is. There's the law.
It's good you have so few tabs up. It's easy to find.
Thank you. I feel like sometimes you make fun of me.
Possible.
In fourth period, Maxville passed Law 21.
Okay.
Which is when attacking someone else, you can steal oil and iron if you win the battle.
Ooh, you can steal it.
Yeah, if you'll remember... if you'll remember what this oil and iron is thing is this dynamic that was just introduced.
Yes. Right. Brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Hit up the last episode if you
hit up the last episode.
Don't know.
Specifically the period 2 episode.
Yeah.
It was not re-explained in period 4. He passes this law, right? And he's doing this while kids are kind of, like, trying to figure out what to do with this new resource. Because yesterday, they basically didn't do anything with it. We had one kid buy one oil well, you know, and that was kind of it. But today, kids are taking a greater interest, maybe because they heard how Second was doing, maybe because they just needed a day to acclimate to the new idea. Where am I in this storyline here?
You're just at the very beginning of second period, stealing oil.
No, I know. I just mean, like, some of these things happen out of order, but make sense told in a different order.
I understand.
So the kids are up at the front of the room, and Mariposa is talking to the Max villains.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking to them about, like, where she should put her oil well. I think this is something that we kind of forget based on the way that I tell this story, is that Mariposa very strongly does not believe herself to be a sentinel.
Right. She believes she is no party preference.
Yeah, she believes she's no party preference. And so she puts her oil well, I think, at Maxville and Fergus's suggestion, up in like the very northern section of the map.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is just in her original territory.
Right.
She has claimed a couple territories now. Mariposa was actually touching Maxville and Moluscada in the north part of the map, but kind of no one was paying her any mind to where her location was because, like,
they were so involved in the Maxville and Moluscada drama.
Exactly. It was just the two guys, like, going back and forth. But if you'll remember, Moluscada moved to the bottom of the map to escape Maxville, and then Maxville moved to the bottom of the map to chase Moluscada.
Right.
By the way, checked in with Moluscada. He says, emotionally speaking, he's totally fine. It's just a game.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Moluscada is in that place.
He was like, it's going to take a lot more than this to rattle me.
Good.
But yeah, so just... So Mariposa claims their lands due to law 18.
I'm sorry, claims whose lands?
She claims Maxville and Moluscada's old lands, the ones they moved out of.
Oh.
Because she was touching both of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, this is just literally free real estate.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking it.
It's free real estate. I'm taking it. And due to Law 18, she could basically do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Law 18 just describes how you can acquire land.
Right.
And one of the ways is basically if it's next to you and there's no defenses, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
So she buys that. She also ended up buying a plot of land all the way at the bottom of the map.
Okay.
Which I don't know if we mentioned that already.
I believe you have.
Okay. So Mariposa has about three territories completely under her control at the top of the map,
mm-hmm.
and then one territory under her control in the south. And after Mariposa had this conversation with the Maxvillains about where she should put her oil wells, she then went and had a conversation with Moluscada and Chito, who are both sentinels. And they were talking about this kind of like economic empire, and they thought... They, I don't know if they have a name for it. I'm going to call it Russia because that's what they called it.
Okay.
Where they're like, we're just going to have a bunch of lands at the north of the map, which are just oil heavy. Like, there's going to be a lot of oil wells in the northern part of the map.
Okay.
And Moluscada was realizing that he's always going to be attacked, and so he would rather have his oil well in Mariposa's land.
Got it.
And then they would just agree that he gets the oil. And I was very specific. I was like, you guys better keep getting along, because the order of operations here is this oil well is on Mariposa's land.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have a falling out, it still goes to Mariposa. Just
yes.
Because you guys agreed right now, you know, that does, like, I'm not going to enforce that.
Right.
This
That's
is Mariposa's
agreement.
Oil mm-hmm. that you are allowed to get, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyway, that you paid for, basically.
Right.
But clever of him to realize that he should not be having his resources in a place that can get hit by...
Yes. Very smart. So in doing this, Mariposa has kind of brokered deals with both sides.
Yeah.
Has further highlighted their no-party preference alliance.
Which is what she's always claimed.
Yes.
Is that she's not a sentinel, she's not a Max villain, she's no party.
I think it's very smart of her. If she wants to maintain that, if she wants other people to see that as well, I think it's very smart of her to make plays on both sides.
Yeah, I totally agree. So beep up. So she's talked to both people. She gets along with them all, and then we get an attack in the south. Highly unusual, right? And so in the south, we have Maxville next to Moluscada, right? And Maxville mm-hmm. says, I'm declaring an attack. And I said, oh, of course you are. Like, mm-hmm. like...
On who?
On Mariposa.
No!
Yes.
Plot twist.
He wants her oil.
He wants her oil because it's Moluscada's oil.
No, he just wants the oil.
Oh, okay.
He just wants the oil. That's why he wrote the law.
Oh, this is a bad idea.
Isn't it a bad idea?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So he declares an attack on Mariposa.
Yeah. And he says, you know, I want your oil. And then I basically intervene. And she was pretty upset, but we're looking at the law and Law 21. When attacking someone else, you can steal oil and iron if you win the battle, you know. And so he's attacking.
Was there a battle?
Well, she didn't have a defense, and I think she was contesting the idea. Because he kind of showed his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like, I'm attacking you and I'm taking your oil, you know. And, like, chances are she was not going to put up a defense that was going to beat his $200 soldier, you know.
Right. Bucky?
Yeah. No, that's
no,
that's
period. Gucci Napkins.
That's Gucci Napkins.
Yeah.
This is just Maxville's soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Who I don't think is actually at 200, but it's strong. It's like 100 and something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kind of showed her hand, and she immediately was upset at him. She was like, WTF, man. And it's not smart.
No, it's a very...
It's very not smart.
It's not the greatest idea that Maxville has ever had. No offense to him.
No offense to
we
Maxville.
We do love him. It's just...
But, like, why attack Mariposa?
Yeah.
You know?
That was your swing vote, my friend.
That was your swing
in
vote.
In the court.
You know, if you ever lose power again, which could happen as of this Tuesday...
Mm-hmm.
Because Moliscata has been, like, completely tapping into this untapped resource of people who are kind of in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been really like making alliances with people so that he can swing the vote.
Yeah.
And so pissing off Mariposa is not a good idea for Maxville.
No.
You know, someone else could very easily get voted out this next Tuesday. I mean, it could be Yodiland, you know,
mm-hmm.
just because like he hasn't been there and he's often not there, you know? And so, very dangerous move by Maxville, and she's mad at him, but they're arguing about this law. When attacking someone else, you can steal oil and iron if you win the battle. So before the battle even happens, they're arguing about what this means.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariposa is like, "That's not fair. You can't do this. Like, that's not what the law means."
Mm.
And I basically stepped in with. You'll remember this conversation I had with Cheeto of me not setting up any set price for how much the oil and iron is worth.
Yes.
Are worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how much? You know, like, how much
oil
and iron are you taking from her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the law doesn't specify.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And I, El Presidente...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to enforce this law, basically.
Yeah.
I said, I will enforce the money part. I will say, you know, you owe this amount of money. And I will enforce surrender agreements. But I will not like, enforce this specifically, especially with how vague it is.
Okay, is that your reasoning as to why you will not enforce it?
It being vague, not particularly. It's more like I have very set rules of like what I will do,
mm-hmm.
and in a battle it is I will enforce the money. You
right.
have to pay the money as you have it now.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing that I will enforce. To me, if they challenged me on this, I would say that taking iron and oil is now just a legal thing that can happen in, like, a surrender agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And that this law doesn't actually mean much and is somewhat redundant.
Okay.
But I still let him write the law, you know, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't stop a law from articulating something which I believe to already be in the rule book.
Got it.
You know. But so there's a total kerfuffle about that. It ended up getting settled that I think Maxville just called off the attack.
Mm.
Which I don't usually allow, but in the sense that, like, you could always just surrender with nothing, you know, nothing said, then I guess I do allow it, you know. If
right.
the surrender agreement is sorry, you know, who am I to stop
yeah.
that?
Okay, so Maxville backs off this idea, but I
yeah.
don't know that that is going to save this relationship
yeah,
in the
I don't
long
know.
Run.
I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see.
For sure, Mariposa seems smart enough to to be skeptical about their interactions in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Cheeto and Moleskata have been ally farming mm-hmm. For the Sentinels. Cheeto in particular got Reitland, who's, you know, someone who's been very quiet,
mm-hmm.
and he attacked through her territory.
Oh, got her permission?
Yeah, basically, like, sent a soldier. Basically gave her a soldier, says, please attack that person and give me half.
Mm.
Which is what happened. It was very profitable. They cleaned out Cat. You know,
Cat.
Yeah, Cat gave all 10 of her stocks, and then they split them between the two of them. But yeah, it looks like Reitland is getting involved just because her territory is in this, like, very convenient place for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun to see, you know, that they're being friendly about it, and that, you know, it seems that Moleskata is I don't want to say slowly to, but, like, he is, like, figuring out where the power lies in this class.
Yeah.
And he is navigating kind of very slowly, like, oh, I definitely cannot go up against Maxville. In fact, I might lose some of these votes. But there are these other people in this class that do get a say and are allowed to vote, and I should be talking to them more, you know. And that's cool to see him kind of, like, figure out the inner workings. I haven't seen Maxville talking much to the kids that are not voting and not talking, just because, like, he's kind of got his very strong core and doesn't seem like he needs to feels the need to mess with that. Yes. One more exciting thing happened.
Ooh.
Finally, someone seemed to believe that iron was more valuable than oil.
Oh, good.
You know.
Maybe someone listened to the podcast.
But Fergus spent $100 and bought mm-hmm. a level 10 mine.
Good job, Fergus.
And just immediately bought a boat.
Good for
and
him.
And he has set sail for Bobbyland, and which means that even with Gucci Napkin getting an airplane relatively soon, Fergus will be the first person to make contact with another island.
Mm. Well, and, as was famously said, mm-hmm. money can't buy everything. Maybe mm-hmm. so, but it can buy me a boat.
Yeah, there mm-hmm. we go. And this has brought up a whole host of other questions about, for me, how I want this game run.
Ah, okay.
Because Fergus is going to get 10 more iron on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And is he allowed to add that to the boat that he already sent off?
What would adding it to the boat do? Make the boat faster?
No, it makes it stronger, because the boat can make attacks for you.
That's right.
The boat can make attacks for you.
Can the boat only make attacks on coastal lands?
Well, this is where we're getting into it, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, my original conception would be that boats are only allowed to make attacks on the edges of the land,
mm-hmm.
and that if you want to deploy a soldier, you need to put that soldier in the boat and send it off.
Which means you can't use it to attack in your home island.
Right. It would be off in the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Which is the whiteboard.
Exactly. And if you wanted to trade resources, you'd have to put them in the boat and send it off, and then uh-huh. those would be, excuse me, taken out of the game.
Maybe we need to get you, like, little boat magnets for your whiteboard.
I have magnets. They're terrible. This is what I got the magnets for originally.
Oh.
But they're just terrible. I used a sticky note.
Oh, okay. That's better. I mean, it's not really better, but maybe we'll work on the magnet thing.
We'll work on the magnet. We'll ask our tech guy if we can find boat magnets. You know, like, can you add to your boat if it's not in harbor?
Right.
My instinct is to say no.
No.
My instinct is to say no.
You've got to add to it before it goes.
But let's say you've got multiple boats. Can multiple boats attack?
At the same time.
Right. Like, can you use one attack per boat?
I thought you could only do one attack per day.
Right.
So I think it's your game, Mr. Goodman, but I think that would introduce a level of complication that is not necessary. I think the rule is you can attack once per day. Mm-hmm. If you had two soldiers, would you let the person attack twice? Exactly. So having two boats.
But I guess the difference is...
But I'm wondering if you have two... Sorry. If you have, like, two boats together and you make one attack with those two boats, if they could combine...
Right. They would be able to combine.
I feel like makes more sense than being able to make multiple attacks with your multiple boats.
Yeah. I agree with you. But, you know, so, like, let's say Fergus reaches Bobbyland, which is in Period 2 of Island. That's where he sets sail for. Mm-hmm. So Fergus reaches Bobbyland, right? And let's say he's got $150 in this little envelope that he sent over with Bobbyland. And he says, I'd like to buy Bobbyland for $150. And then Yure, which is how you're supposed to pronounce it,
mm-hmm.
and then Yure says, I want $170 for it. Do I make him sail back to Period 4's island and grab $20 and then sail back? You know? That seems completely just ridiculous, you know? It completely limits how much you can negotiate if you limit them to, like, what they can stuff in their envelope, you know? It's like the negotiations are totally limited.
To me, the money is different than something that's on the boat, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, you and I could make it, like I could give you $5 now mm-hmm. for something that, like,
sure,
is in Canada that you're going to give to me when it gets back.
So, like, money should be wireable.
Yeah, exactly. I think money and stocks could be wireable, but iron mm-hmm. and oil is it's not...
It's a physical commodity.
It's a not wireable thing.
Sure, okay. 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 I was thinking...
That's what makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe carrying the stocks over to you, but...
But no, stocks can be traded digitally.
Yeah, okay.
So I feel like the wireable things, but okay. I can't, like, wire you a bar of iron,
and
right?
That's a good, like, mnemonic for me. It's like, mm-hmm. can I wire it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's wireable then. I like that. I like that idea. So he just has to make contact. Soldiers are not wireable.
No.
I like this rule.
They're not.
You know, if two boats, you know, combine, they can do that. If one boat catches up with the other,
mm-hmm.
they can combine. Interesting. Sorry, I was just kind of processing
okay.
that. There's other questions, too. Like, can your boat, like what if... What if your boat lands and then, like, turns into a soldier that can walk around on the island?
Are you suggesting that Transformers are in this game?
Am I not suggesting Transformers? I think it'd be a one-way transformation and you would, like, annihilate the boat. Also, you know, something which I have, like, not touched on and nobody's really asked me about. I think some one person asked me about this. Are these reusable, or are these one-way tickets?
Oh, I would assume your boat would get to come back.
Yeah,
unless
I would think
it was
so too.
Destroyed in combat or something.
Right, you know. And I would say the same with the airplanes, probably.
Yeah.
I'm
wondering if the boats get to dock. Like, do you have to attack someone, or can you, like, if your soldier's on your boat, can you, like, dock your boat? Or would you have to barter a dock agreement with the person whose coastal land you docked your boat on?
Gosh. And how does it work when somebody attacks you while you're in the boat? Can you attack a boat? A boat should be able to attack another boat, yeah?
I mean, yes, but that's a very that to me is getting into... Logically, yes, but I think that is introducing too many... What is it you said that your mom says that sometimes you tend to overcomplicate things?
Yeah,
I think I'm going to have to go with Julie on this one, that's like a little bit much.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, should you not be able to attack a boat then at all, and it's just the boat is an offensive unit like the soldier? That probably makes the most sense. Boat's an offensive unit like the soldier is, and is damaged when it makes an attack on others.
Mm-hmm.
And we just
yes.
keep the defense for whatever that territory is.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But I do think you should be allowed to dock a boat and not necessarily be attacking that land.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I want to, like, dock my boat?
Merchant boats.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. You can send out a merchant boat.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually what Fergus is intended. Is to send his boat out as a merchant. That's my understanding.
Oh, I guess you would have to put a soldier on it for it to attack. No?
It starts as a level 10.
Oh,
because
okay.
it took 10 iron. It just starts as a level 10
soldier. I understand. But are there two different kinds of boats?
No.
Okay. He's just declaring his intent.
Yes, exactly.
Is to be for it is exchange of goods and services.
Only. Military boat, which is capable of negotiating and trading.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Does have a gun on it, though.
Okay, I didn't realize. I thought that we were, not a real gun, obviously. Like...
It has the ability to attack.
It has the ability to attack. Okay, I was wondering if that was, like, a thing that you were doing within the game, like, upgrade your boat's gun or whatever. No.
None of that.
No guns.
Good idea, though.
No.
To upgrade the boats. Brilliant.
Upgrading the boats, maybe, yes.
But, you know, so he sends that out, and it'll be the first to make contact. And there's all these things, and, like, you know, can you deploy a soldier? What counts as an attack? Can you attack a boat? I like what we talked about, though.
Mm.
You cannot attack a boat. If you want to deploy a soldier, you have to bring the soldier with you.
And if any kid gets upset with you about these rules, you can send them right on down to me.
Perfect.
Yeah, you can lay the blame on her.
It was her fault. That's good. And that helps parent things out. And then this wire ability thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Fergus has declared, at least, that he's going to try and buy Bobbyland. And I don't know if he's trying to, like, move into Bobbyland, or he's, like, wants to make attacks, or, like, what if he, like, moves onto Bobbyland and someone attacks him, is his wallet back at home vulnerable, or only, like, the goods he brought with him?
Oh.
And I would have to say the wallet back at home. I think that's the only way to play it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it just gets too confusing as to where what goods are.
Yeah.
You know. So you are opening yourself up for vulnerability, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
With possibly a lot of people who don't like you.
Yeah. We'll see.
And so we'll see. And we'll see how this communication between classes works. And my thought process is you can write, like, a letter to that class,
mm-hmm.
and I will facilitate that, or you can just come in at lunch or talk on your own, and then if you both come to me with the same agreement, maybe you both send me an email or something.
That's what
you know?
I was gonna suggest,
and we'll go from there. Like, oh yes, you guys both agreed to this, then I'll mark it down and all that's good. And I really appreciate the level of trust that I'm able to have in these kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
I genuinely feel like nobody is cheating.
That's great.
Yeah. I genuinely feel like those who care enough about the game are playing it straight, and those who don't care enough about the game are just not playing.
I think also you need to give yourself some credit there. Like, you've created a classroom community where that's not part of the culture.
I won't take credit for that, but thank you.
Well, you've certainly helped.
Okay.
Classroom community doesn't create itself.
I've existed while that has happened.
It doesn't create itself. It needs an instructor. We all know, because we've seen classes without an instructor. And they do not create community or culture without one.
Okay. Whatever.
I'm trying to compliment you, Mr. Gooderman.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm taking it.
Oh, darn. What a shame. Children, if you're listening to this podcast, back me up. Compliment Mr. Gooderman.
Anyway, Moluscata is in fourth period, and then there's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Yuri comes in at lunch, and Moluscata's still in the room.
Uh-huh.
And Fergus has left, and Moluscata says, "You got a visitor." You know, like, in 3 days,
mm-hmm.
on the 12th, on Tuesday.
Yes.
You're going to have, like, he's going to attack you.
Is this true?
Well, not to my understanding.
Oh,
but I
okay.
wasn't going to intervene.
No.
Because I wasn't sure if he was playing a tactic.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But Fergus does come into the room and, like, insists that it's purely a mercantile boat, mm-hmm. with the ability to attack.
Got it.
I think initially Fergus was maybe a little disappointed at how slow the boats would move.
Oh.
But he's going to be getting a new one every day.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be fine. Like, at the very least, he can just, like, stack that thing until it's, like, this very powerful naval soldier, you know? But there's two more things I want to get to, and then we'll kind of get out of here. One is just these negotiations between Fergus and Yuri, where you know, is we have culture clash. We have different valuations of the dollar and different valuations of land. You'll remember that most of the land in Forth has been basically for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to like move there and pay like $20 per square inch or, you know, whatever it was. But like then that part got removed. So now you just have to like pay the moving cost. And so Fergus says to Yuri, like, can I buy your land? And Yuri says, like, for how much? He says, like, what about like $20? But the culture in second period is that land is really expensive.
Yes,
and land is really valuable. And second period says second and Yuri says like how about $200?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know. And so I wonder if Fergus is going to realize, and I think Fergus might listen to the podcast, so Fergus might realize that that's a two-way street.
Yeah,
and that he can probably sell his land back home for a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, this is called an arbitrage.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love vocabulary.
Is where, you know, you're one market,
mm-hmm.
and I'm one market, and we have different prices for the same item.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, wait a second, I can do a little whoopsie poopsie, and I can buy where it's cheap and sell where it's expensive.
Yes.
So Fergus has the opportunity to arbitrage his land. Which is cool. Because second period is probably willing to pay, like, a very huge price. Last thing. Quick point. But an important one.
Tell me.
Moleskata comes to me at the end of lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, I heard Maxwell talking, and he says he's broke.
Oh.
That means Maxwell has zero. And according to the law that he just reinstated...
Oh, no.
He should not be able to hold a position of power. And I said, remind me about that on Monday, because the bell's ringing.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's where we might be heading Monday.
Oh my god, that's such a good cliffhanger to end on.
I know.
Oh my goodness, I wonder what's going to happen.
Tune back in later.
Oh my goodness, I really want to know.
All right. With that...
Vaya con Dios.
Permanecer con Dios.